Blog Talk Radio.
City's Paracon up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and it was just a whole bunch of great people that were there ended up. And it was such a cool setup, too, because everybody's booth that was there, there wasn't, like, anybody who wasn't, you couldn't just walk up and talk to. I mean, even including Christopher St. Booth was there. So I was talking with him for a while, Jeff and Nancy Resman. Scott Temperman was there. I mean, obviously Tim Miley. Paul Bradford from GHI was there, and he and I hit it off. It was hysterical. Within 10 minutes of, or actually, I'll call it an hour. Within an hour of meeting him, we were basically on the same conversation level like you and I are. So, and we were playing jokes on each other throughout the day. Scott was just ridiculously funny. He actually took, and where his booth was set up in there, out of his hotel room, which was upstairs, he got his iron, the ironing board, and the coffee maker, and had it up for sale, and sold it right next to his booth. So he was grabbing his delicates, and he was carrying the iron and the ironing board around, going out into the main hallway and asking people if they needed anything done. And, you know, he and I had this, we had this plan thing for when he was speaking. His speech was hysterical. I hope that somebody,
recorded.
Yeah. I was just reading what our dear friend Marlboro was talking about. So, it was just a whole bunch of fun. I mean, I can't say enough about those, you know, everybody who was there. Bishop Christina Reiki was there, too. I forgot to mention her, and she's a dear friend. She's actually doesn't live far from me, and so I get to see her a lot at any of the events that are going on. She did some pretty cool, stuff with these new tarot cards that she was trying out, and they're all Virgin Mary tarot cards. And pretty cool stuff of what I saw with, like, people messing around and trying to, you know, figure out a life path, and with the way that these cards are set up, I had a lot of people, as I was sitting at her booth with her, that she's doing them, and she was just practicing. She's not, you know, 100% for sure solid on it. But yeah, she, a lot of people were getting up and kind of doing the holy shit, you blew my mind walking around thing before they sat back down. So that's really cool. I mean, I'm definitely had a great time. I'm going to be posting pictures and stuff. I didn't take a whole bunch because I was busy a lot of time I was there, but I'll be posting some pictures that I took from there that were just hysterical. And, hopefully I will be able to upload some video that was taken also. So I'll see if I can get that up. And definitely have to say it is such a cool damn thing to where a few of the people are going to be at Parafest coming up in 6th, 7th, and 8th. So that's going to be huge. Dennis and I will be there. And just with the people I've talked to that were at this one who are going to be also at Parafest, Dennis, we're definitely in for a interesting trip.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a blast. But I got to ask, Jeff, how the hell did you? I'm kind of afraid to ask. How did Scott end up seeing you naked? It's one of the comments that is in the chat. I'm just curious, what the hell? I'm not sure. I'm kind of grateful that Scott's not going to be at Parafest, I think. But I will.
No,
say that,
no, you're not. That's,
cool,
that's actually a sad thing. Dude is just, and he and I did talk about something with Paul Bradford also about how. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, it makes sense. I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else.
You got a one-track mind. You start reading a comment and you can't finish a sentence and your brain goes dead. Good Lord, man. We need to get you some, I don't know, I'm sure there was some sort of drug or medication we can give you that'll keep a single track going. But I want to know, does anybody have pictures of Scott in his American flag underwear? For those that don't know, apparently the game show ended up being that way.
Yeah.
How Scott ended up making this a strip game show does not amaze me, but still.
Yeah, and I do know where those photos are, and I'm going to have to get a hold of it. I couldn't get it from where I was, but it was damn funny.
Well, I understand that you were called up onto the stage to get it, and I don't mean a photo.
Yeah, we're not gonna mention that section. But Scott and Paul and a couple of other people that were there, and we were also talking to Christopher about shooting it of stuff going, stuff that is an idea that he's kicking around, which I believe is a phenomenal, phenomenal idea, but I can't mention a damn thing about it. So, but keep an eye out at the project that we, and Dennis, you included, might be working on as well. So we'll definitely have to see. So, but I do, and you have the board up too, and you can see that our dear, dear friend Wanda is holding at the moment.
I do see that.
Yes, I'm going to bring in the one and only Miss Wanda Kay. Love her. She's a great friend. She's always have a blast when she's on with us. Hey, Wanda, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Can't complain.
Well, good.
And nobody would give a shit if you complained anyway, Matt.
You got a live one on the other line there.
Hello, beautiful. How are you, Wanda?
I'm good. How about you? Sounds like you're all wound up.
I always am. It's the drugs. I'm not going to lie.
It's just
crack
pipe. Man.
It's the crack pipe.
Yeah, at least I was able to get Dennis on the plan of small rock in the morning, big rock at night.
There
you go. He had a mixed up, and he was talking to his clients like he talks to me, and he was wondering why he was losing work. But
yeah, I could get a little scary in the wrong ears.
Yeah, well, what can I say? I mean, it's easy to misconstrue. I mean, one. You know, just a little tiny thing. It's no bigger than, you know, a diamond on some cheap wedding ring. The other one's no bigger than a golf ball. So, yeah, but, you know, at least at beach the other morning, I really screwed up. I got out of bed, I did my little small rock, and then I went and made coffee. And I really screwed it up. I used the damn Red Bull to make the coffee. Christ, I could see noises.
Ooh. Coffee is bad enough. Red Bull on top of it, you probably were awake for a month.
Well, I probably will get to sleep sometime next week. I got plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead.
Yeah. Well, I came in on the tail end of something there. What were you talking about, some kind of fest that you were at or going to be at?
We are going to be at Parafest, and that's at the Sands Casino in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, on September 6th, 7th, and 8th.
All right. Okay, now the following week, September 13th, 14th, and 15th, I'll be over at the Scarefest. So Parafest and Scarefest sounds like two fun things. Got to get them both on the calendar.
Hmm. Yes,
Scarefest
is going to be a blast also. There's a lot of people who weren't able to go to Parafest just due to scheduling wise that are going to Scarefest.
Mm-hmm.
Like even one of our own, Jody Parks, is going to be at Scarefest.
Wow.
So, amongst a whole shit ton of other people. So
I'm sure we'll have a bunch of the same people at both of the fests if they can make it. I know if I knew about it in advance, I'd be thinking about it too. But I'm in the middle of opening a new shop. So the week of Parafest, it'll be the week I'm getting open. I'm going to do my first day on Sunday, Labor Day. And it's called Wanakee's Ghost Shop, Tours, and More. And I'm excited because it's going to be the only paranormal shop here in Northern Kentucky area at all. So I'm it's pretty well loaded up with all kinds of interesting souvenirs and things like that, T-shirts, what do you call it, crystals, jewelry, Indian stuff, things like that. But I am looking to fill it with paranormal ghost hunting gear, stuff for us to use, all of our K2 meters, the cameras, the lights, and all that fun stuff. So if anybody out there is listening that already has a shop like that that makes that stuff and they're looking for somebody else to kind of push it out there, I'm looking for somebody to help me out with that end of it. We're thinking about maybe putting some of it on display and promoting the shops that are out there, the people that are making the stuff, and help them sell it. But one way or the other, the place is going to be loaded with some ghost equipment.
That's cool. And would you also allow kind of maybe some, you know, one-of-a-kind pieces that somebody's willing to part with and, you know, all that kind of?
I think that I would. I want the shop to be unique, so that is a unique thing. It's also got a back room where we're going to do seminars, classes. We'll bring some special guests in to teach different classes and things like that. And every now and then we'll get some of these psychic mediums, like you were talking about earlier, to come in. And actually, the grand opening is going to be October the 5th and 6th from about 11 o'clock till 7 p.m. And I've got a couple of people lined up so far and looking for a couple more to help me out. But Terry Page, Ursula Kalin, and Terry's friend Wes will be coming down doing some classes on dowsing rods, and the girls will be doing some readings. And I think Ursula is bringing a bunch of Frank's boxes she's going to demonstrate, and I think she's actually going to auction one of them off. She's got some rare ones, some old ones that nobody's seen for a while.
Yeah, so, I know her really well too, because she's local around me. She has quite the collection when you see it, and it's and I keep telling them, like, kick some of the dust off of that. I'm like, what the hell? Bring it with.
Like, well, she's talking about auctioning one of them off while she's here. So that should be interesting. And then on Sunday, after all the different classes and things like that are done, the seminars, we're going to have an investigation at Bobby Mackey's from 8 to 1. So anybody that had done these seminars or classes is welcome to sign up for that investigation and go down with Ursula and Terry, myself, and some of the other psychic mediums and guests that will be with us. So I'm excited. Trying to get it all ready.
So where the, and I know when we were talking about it before, where your shop is not, it's down the road from Bobby Mackey's. It's not
it's about a half a mile away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever been there, you go past a little Ameristop if you're coming in from the expressway right when you hit Wilder, and it's right in the center of that Ameristop Plaza. So like I say, half a mile from Bobby's. So we've been going down and having everybody sign up there. They've done some remodeling at Bobby's, and the gift shop in the main club is now strictly for Bobby Mackey's music. He was just inducted into the Northern Kentucky Music Hall of Fame, and he had a highway named after him. So now the gift shop is just promoting Bobby very heavily. So we've took all the paranormal stuff and moved it up the street to my shop. So we're very close. And, of course, Bobby's is Bobby's and Wanda K's is Wanda K's. But we do complement each other very well. So if you're on your way down, stop in and visit me.
Oh, definitely. Definitely for sure.
I got a wall in the back that's filled with 8x10 photographs from Bobby Mackey's, and I'm asking everybody that stops in and all the investigators, usually they leave a card, but I'm asking them to actually sign the wall, write the date that they've been there and the city and state that they're from, too. So there's some pretty interesting names on the wall. You have to get yours on there when you come down.
Well, definitely.
I'm for it.
If I can get the, I'm still trying to get the CPR East team all composed on a date that we can come down and see what goes on there.
It's been crazy lately. Like I said, they've been remodeling on the place, and the past 2 months I've seen about 4 grown men, alpha males of the team, coming out of downstairs crying, sobbing like little bitty babies. I've seen one woman come up off the floor and thrown to the floor twice after she was lifted maybe about 4 inches off the floor. I've seen a handful of people that don't channel that began channeling and one talking in tongues. These past 2 months, I've shook like a leaf when I walk into the place. I'm just now starting to calm back down a little bit, but for the last month, I've been pretty shook with the place. We're being extra super duper respectful at this point.
Now, most of the spirits that are there, you're familiar with, and they're still, now how are they responding to you?
Well, for the first time in 10 years of being around there, I got what felt like a huge punch in my chest about 4 or 5 weeks back. Knocked the wind out of me, about made me knock out, actually. I kind of blacked out for a second or two. Then I began to get sick, dry heaving. I had to leave the building, and once I made myself go back in, the sickness never did leave. But even after I got home from about 1 a.m. to 7 a.m., I paced because I had Charlie horses that went up both legs from my feet all the way up to my hips, and just continued throwing up in that pain all night. So I felt like I was under attack pretty good. And it mostly, like you say, they know me and they associate me with the building. And I think that due to all the remodeling that was going on, some of them look at me as I'm supposed to be protecting their interest. And with everything being changed, I guess they felt like I dropped the ball and I wasn't covering for them. And I kept trying to explain, you know, I don't own the place. I just work for people who own the place and I can't tell them what to do. We got one EVP that kind of went, ugh. So they weren't happy with that answer. So I think that's what it was all about. The lady that got picked up and thrown on the floor, though, that was because they brought a stack of Bibles into the basement. We won't be doing that anymore. I thought the ghosts were kind of big enough to fight and fend for themselves, and of course they are, but apparently they expected a little more of me. I heard they were very PO'd about that, too. So it's been a very interesting situation these past couple of months.
And it definitely sounds like it. Now, for those that don't know, we've had a couple join us recently. Wanda, Jeff Resman is in chat, and he says, hi, Wanda.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
For those that didn't catch it, our guest tonight is Wanda Kay. She does the tours and so forth at Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the same location that Zach, Nick, and Aaron refused to even set foot back on the property, correct?
Correct.
So yeah. That gives you folks an idea just how wicked this location is.
We can go for months, and it'll be just fine. And then, like I said, once you quit respecting and you put that guard down, they definitely get your attention and demand it. So, like I said, we're going in extra respectful from now on. Extra.
Yeah, and, well, that's something I do want to say, too, for everybody who's listening who wants to possibly set up an investigation there. Respect what the owners want. Don't go and be like, oh, yeah, no, everything would be cool, and then go in there and start provoking and being a jackass and, you know, thinking that you're going to be all big and bad and take care of the situation or what, just no. And it goes not only for your location, but any location. Go in there and respect what the owners want. Respect the guidelines that are set.
Yeah, thank you for correcting that one,
say
Matt,
that
because
enough.
I was,
yes, thank you.
Yeah, I was going to jump on you for that one. It's not just at Bobby Mackey's. You know, keep in mind, if you do go in to do an investigation into a private residence, when you leave, whatever you have stirred up and pissed off, the resident, owners, whatever, the employees there, they have to contend with that afterwards. So don't go into any investigation and just be a jackass.
Absolutely. Like I said, I've got to go in there every day and work. And sometimes on the tours, we bring younger people in, teenagers, things like that, and we don't want them getting scratched up, hurt, or anything like that. And a lot of times it's not the people that do the provoking that get the attention they're asking for. they pick on the weakest one in the litter, the one that least wants it or even suspects it. And then there's other times they don't even mess with you at all. They wait till you get home and just follow you and aggravate you there. I guess they figure, well, you messed with me at my house. Now I'm going to mess with you. It's yours.
Exactly.
Speaking of houses, that's another thing. I took on a couple more places that I'm booking. One of them happens to be a new place that happens to be in my neighborhood. It's located in Taylor Mill, Kentucky, and we're calling it Wolf House, because the land that it sits on was owned by the Wolf family back in the early 1800s. Now, the owner came to me and said that he was moving out of the house. He was a friend of my children. That's how I knew him. And he came over one day. We were all sitting out on the porch grilling about a couple months ago, and he had announced that he was moving out of the house, that he was leaving and never going back. And we said, well, what's going on? And he threw the recorder on the table, and he said, they killed my dog. I said, who killed your dog? He says, those spirits over there in that house. Well, he had told me several times that he heard somebody cooking in the kitchen and rattling pans, and that he would see things, this, that, and the other. So I gave him a recorder, told him, I said, take it over to the house and set it in there when you're gone or whatever you're doing, and see if we catch anything. So he's lived there for 5 years, and he had numerous things happen to him. The man's even tried to kill his cell phone several times and tried using the guns. There's bullet holes in the floor of the bathroom. Things got ugly, and there was a lot of fighting in the house, a lot of hostility, but only when they were at that house. So after 5 years, the man, he'd had a dog that he had raised, and he kept it from the road. It knew better than going near the main highway that's out front of the house. So he went to work, and he always puts the dog down in the basement. Well, and when he came home, he found that the basement door was all scratched up really bad. It looks like some of the scratches you see at Saddamsville Rectory, where they had dogs caged in the basement for fighting, and they chewed it all up. So it was all chewed up. He couldn't figure out why. The dog was well-behaved, so this was really out of the ordinary. So the next day, he put that recorder down there when he locked her in, just to see if anything went on, maybe he'd catch it. Well, several voices came on that recorder. Actually, at the time, when he played it back, several of us listened to it, and we only heard one voice. After the dog had barked for about an hour and a half, going nuts and sounded like she was panicking and hyperventilating, we heard what sounded like a man's voice mixed in all the barking and crying. And I said, I'm going to kill that dog. Then you heard footsteps go across the floor, and you heard the door slam. Well, the owner says that nobody was there. I believe him because I know him. Now, of course, nobody else is. It's just my word and his word. So I'd sent the recording to a handful of people, and this is how this all started. And things were heard in it, actually several different voices. But again, since nobody knows the owner and nobody else was in the house and can validate that the tape was authentic, you know, the recording was authentic, we didn't want to post it all over. But what I did do is I invited four different paranormal groups to go into the house free of charge, spend the night, and just let us know if they found anything. If they did, share it with us. And if they didn't find anything, then fine, tell us that too. One of the people that went in was Chris Maggard. And Chris has worked with TAPS and several other of the television teams with audio-video type stuff. So Chris and his team went in, TPS, I believe it is, Tri-State Paranormal. And that is the only team that said that they really didn't get anything, except for Chris mentioned we needed to exterminate the house. And I asked why he said that. And he said there were spiders and centipedes all over the living room floor and in the dining room area while he was there. I said, I find that odd, because I was over there for about a week cleaning up, hanging curtains, blowing up mattresses and things like that, along with two or three friends who were female. And we never seen a bug, because if we did, we'd have flew out the door screaming. So the other members of all these other teams, I called them that had been in, and nobody else seen bugs. So maybe, I don't know, Chris doesn't like them, so maybe that's why he's seen them. Now, one other person, Tracy, I can't remember Tracy's last name, but he went, Tracy Garnett, he went in with this particular team, and he just turned over some evidence that he caught, but he had been at the house a lot by himself also. And he did get a photograph of a face that got right in the camera. It's a young girl with shoulder-length hair, and it looks like she's wearing a toboggan on her head. Now, I had a team from Paducah, Kentucky, weekend before last, three women that went in, and the one lady said something crawled in bed with her. And, of course, she was tired, so she told her to leave her alone right now. She was going to take a nap, tired, and she'd play with them later. They got all kinds of things. And the couch is shaking and pictures. They're sending me the rest of the evidence. And then I had a group that was in here Saturday night. And this lady, one of the team members, wrote me back and said that there was so much that happened, they couldn't write it on the little notepad that I leave in the house and ask people to write down their experiences. The lady was speaking German, says she does not speak German, but someone else in the group recognized the tongue and was translating. And they picked up several names, and we feel that there's several girls and an old man that's not very happy over there. And I don't know what else, but we don't know a lot of the history on it, don't know really why it's haunted, other than a family of called Wolf had lived there during the 1800s. And then a Price family. It seemed like several members of that family, about seven of them, kept passing the house to each other over and over and over. But it's definitely a creepy old house. I won't even look at it as I go by it. And I just take people over, put the key in. They can go in at 2 in the afternoon and stay till noon the next day, use it for lodging or investigating. But it's definitely turning out to be proven haunted, I'd say. Just as much as Bobby Mackey's. Maybe not as many spirits, but they're definitely active. So a lot of them are staying at the house and then going to Bobby's because they're only next away. And Bobby doesn't do investigations on Friday or Saturday, but if people stay at Wolf House, they can still go to Bobby's and do the tours and stuff and still investigate there. So it's a pretty good...
Here's what I wonder about that kind of a theory of what happens at Bobby Mackey's and what happens at this house. Mackey, the history of Mackey's, and, you know, going back to not exactly knowing what time period all the spirits are from.
Right.
And who's still there, because nobody has any proof or any idea of that. Do you think that maybe that the Wolf House is one of those places that it doesn't matter who stays there, it's going to be more of an attack for strangers in a home residence versus a public, you know, a public setting?
Well, I lived in this location for about 28 years, and during that time I kept seeing that house change. New owners in it about every year, maybe every couple of months. Never knew why, because I didn't know any of the people. But that's odd. Now, we also found out that the house that sits behind them was built 5 years ago, same time someone had purchased Wolf House and flipped it and changed, remodeled it top to bottom, stripped it, did new electricity and everything. So the same time they did that, the new house was built on the back end of the property. They had several acres with it. The new house, the owners cannot live in the back end of the house. The electric keeps going off and on. The dogs go nuts, and they see shadows back there. And the house that sits on the right-hand side of the Wolf House, probably about 500 yards, that one, the lady that lives there keeps lights on 24/7. She says because she sees shadows in her place. And then there's another place on the opposite side where the police are constantly there, and the people are moving in and out. I don't know what's going on there, but it seems kind of odd since I'm finding out about these other houses. And there's a cemetery that runs behind the woods, behind these stretch of houses. So the owners that have all been there have not been able to stay. So I don't think it matters who it is. They're not real happy to see anybody there. I think they're very territorial. I think the old man is very territorial and whoever else is there. They're definitely not used to ghost hunters coming in, so this is a new experience for them, and I think they're starting to be a little inquisitive. Where Bobby Mackey's is used to having 1,000 people every weekend down there and bringing their equipment and hunting, so they're very used to it all. So with Wolf House, every day is a new experience. I don't know what to think of it yet.
Now, can we find anything historically that relates to the German speech?
Not well. The only thing I know from doing, when I was doing research on Bobby Mackey's in this area here, the Licking River divides the Covington part of a, well, let's see, like Campbell County and Kenton County. So the way I understand it is all the German people wound up settling on the north side between Licking River and Ohio, the, you know, the Cincinnati half. And once you cross the Licking River and go on the other side towards Alexandria, Fort Thomas, and all those zones, it was supposed to be more Irish. So German heritage, there were a lot of German immigrants in this area. I also found out that this is Taylor Mill. So one of the main people that settled here about the same time Wilder came into play was the Wolf family, the Price family, and the Taylor family. And one of the, let's see, it was Tracy Garnett, he pulled up some paperwork on it, on the Wolf House, that showed some of the previous owners. And it was all Price family. And it kept going. Did I say Pierce before? If I did, I meant Price. I'm sorry. But anyway, they were related, tied in with the Wolfs. And then there was also a Taylor, last name Taylor mixed in. So these are very, very old families from the original settlers here that had owned this property. And I guess they still think they own it. They're still claiming it, is how I feel.
Well, it could be.
I'm open for theories and comments. Like I said, it's new. We've only had about 8 teams in here so far. And everybody, as soon as you walk in, you feel it feels like you've rubbed a balloon up and down your arm, where you just feel the energy as soon as you walk in the house.
Have we caught anything on video yet?
They have, and it's been submitted to me. But I'm with moving into this new place, the new shop, I haven't had time to download it yet. I'm hoping by the first week in September I'll actually have time. The computer will be relocated and set up, and I'll be able to dig into this and make a page just for Wolf House and share all the stuff that's coming back on it.
You know, I have an idea that would actually be really, really cool for that place.
What's
It's not really even that costly, but at the same time, it would just be, I think, from the stories of what you've been talking about and the stories that I've seen you've been posting about it online and this, that, and the other thing, available, I don't know if there's internet and all that kind of stuff at the house currently.
I've asked the owner to hook up Wi-Fi for us, so he's getting ready to do that so you can come do a radio show.
Oh, that would be awesome. But, no, what would be really cool is...
I am so down with that.
Live investigation from Wolf House. I'm in like Flynn for that.
Now I'll let you know when we get it hooked.
But, no, the one thing I was saying is, and I can find out who the host is, I can't remember off the top of my head, and it's very, very, very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ended up getting like a 16-channel DVR system, you can 24/7 live broadcast the house on all different cameras throughout the house, so where people could actually sit and watch all cameras in the house when it's vacant.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah. So.
Like if you go to, if you're on the computer right now, you go to flakeys.com. FLA, like Florida.
Okay.
FloridaKeys.com. You can watch webcams of the bars, like, all throughout the city. And they hook it up to, like, the DVR systems and just hook it in the internet and broadcast it.
Huh.
But I found out...
I got somebody I know that helps me with my website that can probably help me figure out how to do that. That would be neat, because then that way I can sit and watch from afar. from afar. Like I said, I'm getting to the point I don't want to go in these places. The past couple of weeks, I'll admit, I was so shook from Bobby Mackey's that I had somebody else that helps me from time to time take a couple of the tours down for me. And I think she even did one of the investigations one night. I had to regroup. I was pretty shook with it all. So like I said, half the time at Wolf Palace I go, I let you inside. I don't even look at the place when I drive by other than that. So I have to talk to a few friends and find out if it'll bother me watching them through the cameras like that.
Yeah, because that'd be cool. Just, and I mean, you can set it up to where I'm like a.
Would it go through like YouTube or it's a .com live thing?
It's a .com live.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's live webcam.
Okay.
Like I said, you can check out, and like I said, I have the web post written down at work.
Okay.
Who hosts the Florida Keys one? And I can find out who it is to where, and basically all it is get an internet-based DVR system, set up the cameras at certain points of where all your groups have said they've seen the most activity, and you basically broadcast 24/7. If you have a group that's going in there that's running it to stay and all that, you can shut it down for the night or for the time that they're going
to
be
there.
Yeah,
that's what I was just starting to think. They might not want it in the bedrooms or wherever they're sleeping at, but like you said, they can shut it down during that time.
Yeah.
Just private areas.
Yeah, or even if they don't want them filmed at all, they can shut down the whole thing, and it basically just pops up with a screen that says, you can
live
actually
investigation
add your own,
at this time.
Yeah, live investigation will be back on air, and you set your time and date.
Cool. I like it. I like it. We're going to have to figure out how to make that happen for sure.
I mean, yeah, you can do it at Mackey's. You can do it anywhere as long as there's an internet connection. You have the DVR systems, and I've talked to a decent amount of people. Like, for example, like people who own locations of doing it to try and drum up business for them, and it's a thing where if a group's going to come in and do it, it's like they can sit and watch for hours and hours and be like, okay, and timestamp it and do all that stuff so they can try and get their best evidence at certain times of the night.
Right. So far it seems like just like over at Mackey's, there's no rhyme or reason to it. You can walk in at 2:00 in the afternoon and they're already starting on you. It doesn't matter day or night or how many's in there if they want to come out, and they usually do. It seems like so far, I think every time except once when I have walked into that house, myself and everybody else that's with me just feels that static cling going up your arms and all over your body the whole time you're in there. And sometimes slam the door. Some people that are susceptible will hear them talking and hear the voices. I think that's neat. I can't do that, but some of them will hear it as soon as they get through the door. The women talking to them and children talking to them is what they're telling me. So, I would love to put the cam in there. So I'll be working on that real soon. That's another thing with the shop that we're working on, the Wanda K's Ghost Shop. I'm going to try. I can't do this overnight, people. I'm not a millionaire. But at some point, we're going to put an extra computer back in that room that will have the programs for editing your photos in your EVP so that if there's any ghost hunters out there that don't have that stuff, don't know how to do it, or the teams just need a meeting place, they'll be able to come hang out in that back room and do what they need to do.
Oh, that's cool.
That sounds like a good place for a little coffee shop.
Well, I have a little bar in the back, but it's non-alcohol. I've got lots of Red Bull and Monster to keep all the ghost hunters awake, soft drinks and water, and probably I'm thinking about getting me some of those what do you call them? Like virgin daiquiris, strawberries, stuff for the girls. We like that stuff.
Well, just make sure they don't make the coffee with the Red Bull.
Yeah, I know. I have seen what it's done to you. We will definitely make sure it won't happen to anybody else.
Well,
but you're handling it well.
I can see noises.
You can see noises. You
Yeah, nothing is actually happening. It's just in Dennis's mind that because it doesn't
slow down
or stop.
Not me telling all my secrets? There you go again, telling my secrets.
Don't you hate when they do that? Just so bad, so bad.
I'm telling you.
Okay, speaking of Mackies in general, I have, you know, there's a lot of people I know that say that they've been there and they haven't had experiences, and then you have the, which, it, you know, is one mean, and then the other extreme of it is Zach, Nick, and Aaron won't even set foot on the premises anymore and all that stuff because of all the crazy, crazy stuff that they've gotten. For people who investigate there and, you know, don't get anything, do you think it's just due to the method, or is it their personality, or what they're not open at the time?
I think it's a combination, and also the fact that the spirits are not on the payroll. Maybe they're not there. Maybe they took a night off. Maybe they're tired from the weekend that they went through. Maybe they're having a bad day. I get that a lot on the EVPs. So, but I really feel like a whole lot of it has to do with the personality of the people. Some will come in, and even though they feel that they are being respectful as far as following the rules, it's the attitude. I get a lot of EVPs. I've had a lot of people channeling lately, and the words that I keep getting are arrogant assholes. So,
well, that takes you out of the equation, man.
So it's the way you go about saying what you're asking, you know, what you're saying to them, what you're asking, what you're talking about. People who bring baby dolls, little baby dolls that are wrapped in blankets like newborn, and want to take those up to Miss Johanna's room, that's a slap in the face to somebody who's lost their child. That's very inconsiderate.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're planning on bringing the baby dolls to Bobby Mackey's, I'm going to have to tell you to leave it in the car. And just little things like that. And I didn't realize it all myself in the beginning, so I don't mean to sound like an arrogant butthead tour guide. But I'm learning as I'm going from these things myself. And like I said, there's some things that we say that just the attitude, the approach that you come in with, it's to, excuse me, but for lack of another word, cocky, arrogant, that kind of stuff. And then on the other hand, if you come in and you're too timid and you act like you're scared to death and you're ready to climb the walls every time the wall pops, you're fair game. They love getting a rise. So if they're going to see you jumping all over the place and squealing, you're so much fun, they're not going to be able to resist you no matter what. So you got to kind of stand your ground when you're in there. But at the same time, do be respectful. And it seems like if you just talk to them like normal people, it opens the door and they all start talking with you, especially if you stay on the good side of George and our Buck. They seem like they're the two dominants that seem to be in the building. Bobby Mackey will tell you different. He'll tell you that it's all a crock of you know what, and that it's all a bunch of lies, because he doesn't want to believe. And I get aggravated sometimes. It's hard when we have to do the seminars and I have to talk about it, but Bobby's done a couple with me, and I'll tell the side of how I believe and what I see, and then you hear Bobby tell his side of he doesn't believe a thing of it. But it's a hard place to work. It really is. Sometimes it'll ride smooth for a while, but then things get crazy around there, and it just changes with the drop of a hat, the mood swings and different things like that. And a lot of it has to do with the spirits and them messing with us.
The part that cracks me up is the fact that, you know, all these years Bobby still doesn't believe that, you know, this is going on, and there's been so much evidence and documentation and everything, and he still thinks it's all a crock of crap.
Well, I think that he feels like if he would say that he does believe this, that there's influential people that he knows that might think he's a nutcase. And I've worried for years, too, but everybody knows I'm crazy anyway. It keeps me from going insane, so what the heck, let's talk about ghosts.
I'm right there with you. Mm. You know, all three brain cells that I have remaining at this point in my life are, you know, pretty much.
But I think Bobby definitely doesn't want to come off looking like a crazy person, so he's definitely going to say no, he does not believe in ghosts. But it's funny.
Well,
Saturday night, he pulls up right about time to start, and he pulls right up at the little side door there, comes right in and goes to the stage, And then later in the evening when it's time to go home and he's finished, it's time to leave. So he's not really in the building much at all, and I don't think he ever comes in by himself. But he doesn't believe.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah, he's fun.
You know what? I have to say, though, I think that that's really, and I know on a certain level there is frustration because of it, but I think that that's really, really cool that when you guys do seminars together that you'll tell your story, he'll tell his story of this is just a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what, that's, like, to me.
I think it's neat, and on all my tours I always say, you know, skeptics are welcome. And sometimes when they leave, they're still skeptic, but sometimes they're not. So you never know. And, I mean, there's some people that have came into this place for years and have never had an encounter. But I also, I'm talking about when it's open, like on Friday and Saturday nights. And there's a lot that goes on those nights, too. But, again, I feel like there's enough people out there that are open to it and are requesting for somebody to make themselves known to them. Why should they even bother to mess with a skeptic who isn't interested and have their walls up anyway?
Well, that's true. So pay attention, Terry. I hope you're listening to that.
Terry's listening right
Terry
now.
Terry is my best friend, and she is a diehard skeptic. She is, and she'll admit it to you.
My husband is too.
I put it this way to her one night, and she said, "Yeah, that's pretty damn accurate." She is the kind that would take something walking up to her, slapping her, and going, "There, bitch, now what?"
Mm-hmm.
And then you might get some belief out of her. But I think until then, she's going to remain our resident skeptic.
Yeah, that's what happened to the little girl that was tossed down on the floor. The whole team were scientific skeptics. And their words to me were, we've watched Zach and the guys on their show, and they claim if you bring a Bible into the place that that'll upset them. And they said every place they go, they get something, and it's a crock. And we're here, we've paid good money to investigate. We're going to be respectful, but we're going to bring these in and see. So stupid me figures, well, these are big boy ghosts and they can handle it. If they don't like it, they'll take care of it. Well, they took care of it, but they got very upset with me about it, and all hell broke loose. So like I said, the girl wound up thrown down a couple times. So the teams want to come back. The girls are not, but the men are. And I said, no way. They kept asking and asking and asking. I said, we'll give this a shot. I said, but absolutely, positively, no Bibles. That is a form of taunting, and I understand that now. So we won't be doing anything like that. I said, and if the spirits get that upset at even seeing you guys back, it's instantly over. No refunds. It's just done. Because I am not going to spend a night there and go through that like I did that the last time. I shook all night long, scared to death. Somebody was going to get hurt permanently, die of a heart attack or something. It really did scare me. And like I said, I've been there for years, and I don't think I've ever said that before, but that really did upset me.
Yeah, I definitely want to get my get CPR East in there. Now, the location that I kind of use as my training, the first EVP that one of my brand-new investigators had heard, I loved his response. I simply asked, you know, we heard knocking while I'm setting up instruments and everything on the table, and I'm explaining what everything does. I hear knocks on the other side of the room. I said, all right, someone go ahead and start a recorder. You know, I simply did, all right, well, we hear you knocking. You're more than welcome to say hello and talk to us. Well, I've got a wonderful EVP that just simply said, hello.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, what the hell was that? Of course, those of us that have done this a time or 20,000
mm-hmm.
get a chuckle going, that was exactly what we asked for. And he's like, well, who the hell said it? That's what we're here to find out. He's like, none of you guys said anything. I was looking at all of you. Yeah, I know. that's what we're here to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's definitely fascinating to watch someone that, you know, is either a skeptic, non-believer, you know, first time.
I love when the skeptics come in with us. That's my favorite part of the day.
Well,
it really is. Like I said, a handful escape still being skeptics, but only a handful.
Well, if I can get it set up, I will definitely bring Terry with us. And we'll see what we'll see if she gets to leave a skeptic or if she gets to figure something out.
All righty.
Do you honestly think though that if to bring Terry to Mackey's and maybe even Wolf House or Wolf Place or anything is a good idea to pop the skeptic proverbial cherry? I think that might be a little intense.
That's okay. She's a big girl.
Does she go on hunts with you at all?
No, she's never. She doesn't even believe in it.
Oh.
Well, there's
a lot of them that, who don't believe it, but they come in, you know, just because they want to hang out with their best friends and stuff like that, and then they kind of get used to it. But I'm wondering, really, for somebody's first time into something like that, Bobby Mackey's can be very overwhelming.
Well, I will quote her. We were talking about death and spirit life and, you know, all of that. I will quote her. You know, once you're dead, your worm food and everything is just black.
Yes, your flesh and blood is. But
yeah,
not
it just
spirit.
Goes black. There's nothing.
Boy, she's got a big prize coming.
Well, she's actually listening in on the program on the
Hi,
phone.
Hi, Terry.
But I have her texting me. She says, I've listened to your EVPs, can't hear anything, not afraid of anything.
Uh-huh.
She says hi. But
that's good. She shouldn't be afraid of anything.
You know, I'm not afraid of what's on the other side either.
Yeah.
You know, I do realize that they can hurt you if they decide.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, much like the living, they're only going to do it if it's, well, that's what's needed at that time. So if you're not a complete jackass,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not going to try to hurt you. They may scare
the
shit out of you.
She could get something another way. At Bobby Mackey's, we have an assortment of personalities. If you go in the ladies' room, we've got one that likes to grope the girls top and bottom. We've got another one that likes to do wet willies. You feel like you got a wet finger in your ear. And we've got pictures of what looks like a misty hand with the arm and the finger going right in the guy's ear. They love hugs and kisses. And they're talking about it all the time on those ovulous X's, and people will feel the sensation of something pressing against them, like they're getting a kiss or they're getting a squeeze or they're getting a hug. So one time we were up in the apartment, and that's usually where Grumpy George likes to hang out. And one of the females that asked permission to go into his closet. And after a little coaxing, he agreed. And she said, can I bring somebody with me? And he told her no. And she said, oh, please, 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 can I please bring Wanda Kay with me? And he said, okay. So I'm talking on ovulous accent with dowsing rods. This is how we were communicating. So she goes over to the closet. I go over with her. We introduce who they are. And then the next thing you know, on the ovulous X, it said, expect hug. And the lady says to me, well, what does that mean? I said, it means exactly what it said. He's telling you to expect a hug. Well, I could no sooner get that out of my mouth. And the look on that woman's face was worth $1 million. All of a sudden, her mouth just dropped open. Her face turned about white. She looked like she saw a ghost. But what was going on, she says, oh, my God, something's touching me. I feel it. Something's hugging me. And she had tears in her eyes. She was just ready to break down. And I went over and I put my arms around her. I said, it's okay. I said, are you hurt? She says, no. I said, he's not hurting you, correct? She says, no, it just feels weird. I said, well, he told you what he was going to do. He let you know in advance. You got what you asked for. Isn't this what you came for? She says, yes. I said, well, there you go. You've had a wonderful experience. Don't get upset. So But she was okay after that. But that's the kind of things we deal with. They're not all mean and throwing you all over the floor. There's some children there that follow people around from time to time. There's other females that tend to interact and follow. There's lots of dogs. People are constantly getting dogs, brushing against them, getting the photos of them and seeing them running by, things like that. So, you know, she can come in, and I'm not saying it's going to be a bad experience. I'm just saying she could be overwhelmed if there's so many, if she's an open, sensitive person and doesn't know it because she's never been out hunting. She could get a bunch of them trying to come up to her and say, hello, hi, how are you, all at the same time. It happens a lot to people there.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the more fascinating locations. You know, you hear all the stories about, you know, Baker Hotel or, mm-hmm. you know, Pennhurst and, you know, Mansfield, Moundsville. And, you know, this is definitely one of them that's right up there with your Pennhurst and your Mansfield and, you know, all of that. Just absolutely fascinating location, both in the history of it and in the stories of what's going on.
Always a new adventure.
Terry says, I'd rather have one hug me than hit me, but I'm afraid I would have one hit me to believe. In other words, she'd have to get hit before she believed it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that can be arranged. But when I get this set up and scheduled, Terry, you're definitely going with me. So plan somewhere in the future you're going to visit Wilder, Kentucky.
And if something would happen that she does not have any physical experiences, any paranormal experiences, the building in mm-hmm. itself is fascinating. When you look at the layers and the way it's been it's metamorphosized into what it is, and you see each structure from this decade and then another layer added on in another decade and so on and so on and so on. It's a fascinating place.
Yeah, well, Terry is a very analytical mind. She was into marketing and things like that for several years. She says that she takes in everything, good or bad, assesses it, and then deals with it.
There you go.
So, you know, and that's the proper way to actually handle this.
Correct.
When you assess it, you've given it all the thought that you can possibly come up with. You know, why do I have a, you know, red handprint on my ass after I felt like I got my ass slapped and nobody was around you? Assess that for all you want, but believe me, somebody on the other side has already groped you.
when that happens, you know it. No doubt.
Yeah, she says that would be cool. So,
what gets me, Terry, is every time I go to the ladies' room on an investigation, it seems like I always forget, and I got the K2 meter in my back pocket. So it doesn't fall in the toilet, I have to set it over on the toilet paper roll. And it would never fail. Every time I get on that toilet, that K2 meter will max to the red like they're right in that stall with me. And I keep telling them, don't you even think about touching me.
Yeah, I'm afraid while I'm taking a leak, I really don't want to be touched.
No.
Well,
not at that particular time, no.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, it depends. If they're, you know, a helping hand, why not? That's a help.
It's better than get your hands dirty, I guess.
Yes, Jeff, and I don't understand why Jeff and Chad just said, is Dennis complaining about getting groped?
Dennis will never complain about
free gropings at Bobby Maggie's.
I just real quick, I do want to go on a side note. I have to say congratulations to Leitrana Brown and Mia Brown and her other sister, who I've never actually met. They were on my ghost story caught on camera tonight, and I have a DVRing. I have it playing on mute, and it looks like they got some pretty cool stuff. So hopefully you get to watch that. Yes, our dear friend Adriana and her daughters are on My Ghost Story Caught on Camera tonight. So,
will you share that link with me so I can share it around too?
I don't know if there's it's a TV show.
Right. Well, usually you can find it on YouTube and there's a link. And then we can start sharing it around to make sure I haven't missed it because I was working.
Yes. Because you know Lutriano pretty well, right?
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Oh, so the answer would be no.
I don't know her. I wouldn't say I know her real well, but I know her, yeah.
You know, we've had her on the show once or twice anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got some pretty neat stories as well. But I believe it was her son that was on A Ghost Within My Child or something like that.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
That's on right now.
I forget the exact name of the program.
It's on right now, and I'm talking to you guys on here. Daggummit, I'm missing the show.
That's what a DVR is for, my dear.
Well, right now, Ghost Inside My Child is, I've seen this rerun twice now, so that's not the, it's a cool show, but yeah, I already know what's going to happen. When that one becomes predictable, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, once you already know what's coming, it takes all the entertainment out. But yeah, that one's definitely kind of freaky. But, you know, apparently the paranormal is definitely the, you know, catch thing of this TV season, because virtually anything you can think of as far as, you know, in the paranormal, they have a program out for it now.
Yep,
you know,
that's sure.
And a lot of it's fascinating. A lot of it you kind of look at and you go, what the hell are they thinking? You know, just... Well, a lot of times I look at pretty much anything that's on TV and go, what the hell were they thinking?
This is
so
true.
It doesn't have to be just the paranormal.
Mm-mm.
For the most part in life at this point, I kind of look at most people and go, what the hell were you thinking? I'm absolutely befuddled nowadays by... But I had a guy... Perfect example. I pull into the gas station. I'm coming around the back side of the pumps to pull in. And I don't care what gas station you go to unless it's a friggin' truck stop. They only have one pump in the whole damn place that sells diesel. And 9 out of 10, it's some schmuck with regular gas that takes that one. Well, he came around the front side. I'm coming around the back side. He pulls into it. I'm 10 feet away with my wheels turned, headed for that pump. I'm like, really, dude? You're in a little tiny-ass BMW. I have a huge-ass diesel truck that I'm about to shove your jackass out of the way with. I was actually impressed, though.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he had a moment of clarity and asked if I wanted him to move. No,
wow.
I wanted to sit back here and, you know, I wanted to come around and attempt to go to this pump, not actually go to the pump. But I appreciate it. Yes, I
so
want you to move, you jackass. You stole my pump. But, I mean, he did move and moved over one more pump. You know, there's 12 pumps in a row. He takes the one I'm after, which is the only damn one that sells diesel.
You should make a reservation the night before.
And Sam's Club, I buy a majority of my fuel at Sam's Club. I don't know why, but they have the cheapest diesel around. They have two pumps, and you can only go in, they have it marked, go just one direction into the pumps. All lines form on one side. And apparently, the little pump Nazi that works out there doesn't like me because I've come around the back way a couple of times, and yeah. Like, you know, not a single diesel truck that I've ever seen has the fuel gate on the right. So, yeah.
You've taught me something. I did not know that.
Well, I mean, the biggest majority of all vehicles now, the fuel door is almost virtually always on the left. Some of the imports are still putting it on the right-hand side, but just about all of your trucks, diesel, they're all on the left-hand side.
Huh. my little
I don't
Mustang.
Understand why, but
I got the Mustang, but it's on the right hand side on it. I think the trucks, like you said, are all on the other side though. Never noticed that before. Never knew it had a rhyme or reason to it.
I don't know. Well, I'm not real sure what the reasoning behind it is. That part I'm not familiar with, but I know it's a pain in my ass because there's only, you know, a select number of pumps I can get to.
This is true.
And, of course, it never fails. And I'm sure you guys have both been in this position. You want to go in, you got to get fuel or gas, whatever, to move on, you know, try to stay on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And the jackass that takes the pump that you're after is the one that wants to go in and get coffee and, well, I think I'll eat lunch while I'm in here. Oh, I don't really know what the hell soda I want. And so 10 minutes later, you're sitting there and now your fuel light's dinging going, you're pretty much screwed. You're going to be pushing to that pump, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a parking space.
There's a lot of those fast food stores that are like that, too. They get up to the window and they sit there for 5-10 minutes saying, well, wait a minute, when they're asking everybody what they want as they hit the window. And then, like I said, by the time you finally get up there, you might have some gas left to make it home with your food.
Exactly. Otherwise, you're sitting on the side of the road eating cold food.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. 9 times out of 10, when you get home, everything you paid for is not in the bag. You've got dinner for yourself and a child, and then the other child has not got anything to eat, which is so fun.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. I went to Subway today for lunch. And no, folks, it's not because I want to be like the dude that lost all the weight. I still get a 12-inch club, so you know I'm still blowing my calorie right out the window. I don't give a shit. The line was out the door. I'm like, what the hell? I know what.
Were they giving them away?
To do. No, there was no freebie. It was. I'm like, what the hell? Is Subway that popular? Now, I know when I worked in D.C., I worked in D.C., the area that I was in, you had your option. You either ate Chinese or Subway. And I kid you not, God, who was it that made the joke about I was in Starbucks and looked across the street and there was another Starbucks. This was got up at the end of the universe. That was how it was with Subway in D.C. I'm sitting in Subway eating my lunch and I look across the street and there's a damn Subway across the street. I'm like, is this crap all that? It's not that great. It's cheap, somewhat healthy. I mean, it beats the hell out of whatever kind of meat they put in, you know, a Big Mac, but I was kind of dumbfounded. I'm like, Subway is not that great.
Because, well, they're franchises, so that's where it comes in. And there's no zoning restrictions. You can have a Subway next to a Subway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
And their licensing, there's no gap. You don't have to have a gap. You could have two Subway restaurants directly next to each other on the same block, even across the street, directly next to each other.
Yeah, they don't. You buy the franchise. You don't buy a zone. But yeah,
so,
Terry is giving me crap in text. She says I'm still skinny as a rail. Has no one seen your pics? Yeah.
So okay,
I need a horse.
I don't know if this is the same thing. Back to the gas station thing, real quick. I don't know if it's the same in Kentucky and Virginia as it is in Illinois, especially the Chicago area. Why are lottery people so just absolutely stupid?
You mean the salespeople or the buyers?
The buyers.
No, I don't think
that's
just lottery.
Well, no, it's I'd say 70% of the human population that now, for some reason, at least around here. But, no, I don't get it. Like, I go in, I stop at the same mobile gas station every morning on the way to work, I get coffee and a pack of gum. And it seems to be, it doesn't matter what time of the day that I go, these are the most OCD, neurotic, I think I haven't figured out how to win the lottery people that have, like, these notebooks that they have all this long form and they're figuring out odds, like, using actual algebraic form and scientific form to try and figure all this out. And then when they go up to the counter, which I just happen to get there by the time that they're done, and the wonderful woman Maria that works there tells me the same thing. It's like, he's been here for like an hour and a half doing math, or she's been here for like, you know, 2 hours doing math. And then I get up there, and they're trying to pick their number. They're not buying anything else. They're trying to pick their numbers.
Are you misunderstanding her? Is she saying that they've been there for an hour, hour and a half doing math or meth?
Yeah, let's make sure we get that right.
Yes, well, it's M-A-T-H after M-E-T-H. So I think they're attempting the math after the meth. And,
oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least they're doing it in the right order, A before E.
Well, and here's what these dumb shits do, though. And I'm not even kidding. They're only, like, you know, I see people that play the lottery. They're playing Powerball. They're playing Mega Millions. They're playing, you know, whatever. And they spend, you know, walking, oh, yeah, give me five, just, you know, quick pick or whatever, and then they walk out. These dumb shits are wasting hours upon weeks upon months of their life, and they play one line. Like, they'll buy a $1 ticket, and that's it.
Well,
it's like,
I will say this much. If not for the lottery, we wouldn't have friends like Michael Carroll that win the lottery. And, you know, then turns around and does charitable things to help, you know, historic locations and, you know, put money into the preservation fund and things like that. So it's not a complete waste. The part that irritates the living shit out of me, though, is you watch some, you know, 65-year-old millionaire that's retired win the damn thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
But, you know, Terry calls it the redneck retirement plan. And, you know, there's been many a times I'll go in, you know, it'll hit whatever, and I'm like, oh, what the hell, I'll go ahead and buy it. And I tell him $5 in my retirement plan.
Well, we won $5,000. Off of a scratch off when they first started doing them here in Kentucky. And we thought we were the richest people on the planet. I remember we went up and took the kids out of school for the day, said, we got some money, we're going to pay some bills and go shopping. Jumped up and down in the middle of the living room.
And then the next day, you've got just as much money as you had the day before.
Oh, we didn't spend
it all.
We still had a little bit left. Back in those days, $20 was like a million, and we enjoyed it.
Yeah. I discovered something today. You know, everybody says money talks. I discovered mine just says, see ya, asshole.
Oh, Lordy. What I'm hoping is you get all these people to say, I love you, I love you. I think the world of you. I really like you a lot. I'm hoping they love me and like me enough to at least stop by and visit at me shop once in a while. Get the place open, and if nobody comes in, you talk about your money saying bye-bye real fast. This is going to be a heartbreaker. I went and signed the lease for this shop the day after, or later that night. I was getting ready to go to bed, and I'm laying there looking at the ceiling. I think, Wanda K, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? I owned a bar about 100 years ago. And we hit it for a few years, but it didn't seem to fly quite right. So I'm still having nightmares from that venture. So, but everybody keeps saying this is a different horse. There's no alcohol involved in it, so I'm hoping it'll fly. I'm excited about it, but like I said, at the back of my mind, you sit and you wonder, the economy like it is, some places do okay, some others don't. So paranormal people, I need support on this. Keep me in mind.
Well,
and as much as Wanda K has supported the paranormal, I think you'll do just fine getting the support back from them, dear.
I hope so. Like I said, I'm trying to make it a, you know, a meeting place and a place where the paranormal people are comfortable and they can just hang out if they want to for a while.
Well, what I'll do, and Dennis, this is a damn good opportunity to help wind out and get the name out there besides just this show. When we're broadcasting live from Parafest, one, if you can get me some, like if you already have some sort of flyer or something already, you know, printed up that has contact information or what you're looking for or anything like that,
okay.
We'll promote the hell out of it, Parafest. And we're broadcasting live, doing live interviews all 3 days that we're there for at least 2 hours at a time. So we'll get the word out with everybody there.
Thank you. I'm supposed to be getting me some little, you know, those little, they're a little bit bigger than a postcard, like tall, and they put them inside of the touring shops and things like that, so you know places to go and see. So I'm planning on having some of those made up, but I'll put it on the internet, too, where you can pull it off there and find it, see what it says. But it'll show a couple pictures of the place and maybe some pictures of the places that we rent out and tell you about that back room, because like I said, I just want the paranormal community to feel comfortable when they come in and want it to be a place where they want to come back, hang out again and again.
Well, keep in mind, it doesn't take much to make the paranormal people comfortable. I mean, we do hang out in abandoned, decrepit buildings.
This is true. That's why I didn't put any carpet on the floors. I figure you guys like it rough.
Now, Matt likes it rough.
Are they dusty or are they actual?
They're like painted floors. They're concrete floors that have been painted. So, but I think that they will look okay. It's I figure people are just gonna walk in and make them dirty if I put carpet down anyway. But they look fine. They'll serve the purpose.
Yeah. A couple of times reviewing evidence, coffee spilled.
It'll be easy to mop that up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, I've told the people, there's a bunch of them from Bobby Mackey's that have been wanting to learn some line dances because I DJ there on Friday and Saturday night. And a lot of the waitresses and the regulars. So I have agreed to let them do line class dances or line dance classes in the back room down there on Thursday nights from 8 to 10. So if anybody's local that's listening, if you want to come line dance with us Thursday night, so it's funny. My daughters all call me artsy fartsy. So this little shop is supposed to be a combination of all the artsy fartsy things that Wanda K does. Be something there for everybody.
Sounds fun.
And, you know, in the next, we've still got 35 minutes left, but no matter what, since we're talking about that, and, you know, for any information on the new venture, if you want to put it out there, or any sort of contact information for Bobby Mackey's, you're more than welcome to throw it out there of how to get in contact with your Wolf House or, you know, anything that you have going on.
Mm-hmm. WandaK.com, any of the stuff we've been talking about. And you'll find my phone number hanging out there where you can give a call to the office and book something if you want to or ask some questions.
Oh, that is simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we now have 35 minutes left.
I got a question.
Yep.
What's the best ghost story you got? Tell me the one thing, the biggest one in your entire life that caught your attention the best. We'll take a turn with that, see where we go.
Dennis, you can field that one first.
I would have to say would be the first time that I saw a full-bodied apparition. I was doing work in D.C., laying tile. The location is St. Elizabeth's Hospital. It started in 1855 when they started to build it. It was the first federal government insane asylum.
Hmm.
1857 it actually opened its doors, and it is now, well, it sat abandoned for a little while. Now the, and you'll love this, Department of Homeland Security is taking the location over, and they're completely remodeling it, renovating the building, which I think is wonderful, versus tear down an absolutely gorgeous bunch of buildings. But I'm in the kitchen land floor tile. I'm 3-4 feet away from a doorway leading out to a little short hallway. This is Christmas Eve. It's 2 p.m. I know of only one other person in the building, and that's my coworker who's behind me 30 feet. I start hearing, now, being that it's a federal job site, we have to wear, you know, appropriate safety gear. So you're wearing steel-toe shoes. We're actually having to wear hard hats. We have to wear a safety vest, the high-vis green safety vest, mm-hmm. even in the building. I don't understand why. It's not like I'm going to get run over in the building. But I hear these hard-soled shoes coming down the stairway outside this doorway that I'm working right by. Now, from where I'm at, if you go out this doorway, turn right, go about 8 feet, you hit the stairway that goes up to the second floor of this building that they're going to use as the dining hall. In the basement, or the lower floor of this building, they've turned into the kitchen, the storage area, you know, the big walk-in coolers and freezers and all that. Out the left side from that doorway goes to outside. The doors have been removed from the building. They just have plywood doors on at this point while the original solid wood doors get rebuilt. So I hear these hard-soled shoes, and I'm like, well, that's peculiar. Well, it must be just one of the security guards coming through. And then I see a man in a black suit carrying a black briefcase, wearing a fedora and black dress shoes, walk by the doorway. I'm like, well, who the hell is that? At this point, I pop up just as he got out the exterior door. You can go 50 feet in any direction, and you're still standing in mud. There's not a footprint. There's nobody out there. So it took me a moment of scratching my head going, all right, what the hell did I just see? And then it dawned on me, holy shit. But I, you know, now for 10 years or better, I've gone into, I can't even tell you how nasty a locations. And I mean, even when I was 18, 19, I was going in them. So that's 20 plus years ago. I've never seen a full bodied apparition. I've seen like shadow play and things like that. And always going, what the hell is that? Mm-hmm. This one, I watched solid, I could describe him.
Yeah.
You know, I could describe his dress and everything. And it took me a couple of moments to kind of get my shit together and realize what I had just watched. Mm-hmm. But I watched a full-bodied apparition stroll out. Now, this location at the height of its operation was fully self-sufficient livestock farm area. It had on-site cemetery, crematorium, its own fire department. I mean, this was a fully functional city within D.C.
Wow, huge facility.
Yeah, I mean, 80-plus buildings in it, over 163 acres, I believe.
Wow.
Just massive location. But, you know, at its height, it had 7,000 staff and 8,000 patients.
Lordy.
So, you know, this was definitely a large place. But that was definitely that would be my freakiest story, having a full-bodied apparition walk just a couple of feet away from me.
Good one. All right, you're next.
Yes, I am. I actually have two. The one that got me into paranormal started getting into paranormal, I have one having more knowledge. So it was a little bit out of high school that I was, you know, pretty good friends with this girl, and I'd go over to her house. We were like maybe, you know, 19, 20, 21, like, you know, somewhere there, like not long after high school at all. So go over to her house all the time, and she told me, like, flat out, and she's like, oh, my house is haunted, and I'm like, oh, not okay. She goes, no, you'll probably see stuff. I'm like, well, we'll see, whatever. So she and her family were kind of like chain smokers and stuff, so their house always had a mist in it, where there was always that hanging curtain of cigarette. So you would expect if there was a breeze or something that would come through, that it would kind of morph into figure and this, that, and the other thing. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but when I literally sat there for kind of days and weeks and all that, when I know, and it's an old shotgun style house, kind of like a Cape Cod, but more of a shotgun style house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit older. It's in Aurora, Illinois, which is a very, very old city with a lot of history. And we'd be sitting in the kitchen, and this person, I'm not going to say her name, this person is sitting there, you know, kind of chain smoking cigarettes, whatever. So there's a gray haze throughout the whole room. But I saw, this was the first experience ever, is the light went on and off in the bathroom, which was in the back of the house, the toilet flushed. Unless you went outside and back around, which you can see someone go out the back door, you can see somebody come in the side door we were sitting, there's no other access to that area. Not even through the basement and up the back stairs or anything like that. It's just, that's the bathroom. I know because I was sitting there. I see the light turn on. I see the light turn off. I hear the toilet flush after the light turns off. Nobody comes out at all. And she goes, oh, that's just our ghost. Like, and, you know, now I think she's pulling my leg, whatever. So I'm like, all right, And I was just sitting there, I'm like, oh, okay, ghost. I'm like, what else you got? I didn't say it in like a, you know, a shitty manner. Just like, hey, what, you know, what else you got? What else can you do? And I kid you not, I see coming through that hallway a woman. It wasn't a woman in white. It wasn't a woman in anything. It was a woman who was... It was almost like the contrails you see come off of a plane, to where the, you know, the smoke was morphing as something moves through smoke, it contrails off the back just like an airplane does.
Mm-hmm.
Where you see that wafting and then it pulls towards it. Well, on the leading edge of that, there was a bonnet, mm-hmm. There was a woman's face, there was more of like a, like almost like an Amish or 1800s, you know, period dress that would just walk through the kitchen. It would walk through the living room and it would go upstairs. Apparently, in death, you still have to relieve yourself because the bathroom was always weird, and then I'd always see her walk past. And it became kind of a normal thing. But, you know, I was like 18, 19 years old. I didn't even really pay attention or know anything about paranormal investigating. But the one thing is, it hated her stepdad. That woman hated her stepdad. We'd be sitting there and yeah. Yeah, not the girl that I was friends with. The spirit in the house hated the stepdad. He'd be leaning against the, like basically against the counter where the sink was, and he'd be talking with us. And Dennis, you can back me up on this as far as the actual functionality of something goes. The faucet, which was a single lever faucet, not one of the twist, you know, a twist either side or whatever. It's you lift the lever and you go left for cold and right for hot, or however it's set up. Left
right.
For right, hot for cold, or right for cold, whatever. That does not have the ability, if there's a water pressure issue, to rotate per direction. Am I correct?
No, it can't swing left or right on its own.
If you have a leak, it's just going to drip. It's going to be either the grease seal, or it's going to be a break in the nylon seal in that ball valve, correct?
Correct.
All right. This thing, I shit you not, if he wasn't in the room, it would go, it would lift directly up, and it would go over to cold. If he was in the room, it would lift, and it would go to hot, and then it would mess with him so bad. So one day that we were staying in the kitchen, I'm still, like, mind you, I'm 32 now. This is like 19, 20, 21 when all this stuff was happening. So it's been, you know, a decent amount of time. I can still remember this plain as day. Is it lifted up. He was leaning against the kitchen, counter with the
mm-hmm.
faucet on it. He's chilling there. It lifts up. It goes to hot. He puts it back down, steps over a little bit, is just sitting there, standing there, and he's wearing kind of these big, like, he's kind of a, like, hipster, like, computer geek kind of guy, so he had the big, like, 1980s, early 80s, like, NASA video glasses on his face, like, the huge, there was only one style of glasses, and it was ginormous and ugly. Well, that's what he still had. The lenses were still Lexan, though. They were synthetic. They were not made of glass. And as soon as that happened, as soon as he turned it off and he stepped a couple steps over, the glasses on his face shattered. The lenses, spiderweb shattered, and they ripped off his head and flew across the room, and
mm-hmm.
he did not touch them at all.
Hmm.
Here's a extremely strange thing about that. Samantha, who is
what
part
that
of,
wasn't?
No. Well, that was all strange. Yes, that was strange. I will admit that. Yes.
I was going to say I have to say that's extremely strange in and of itself.
Yeah, it freaked the shit out of me. But anyway. But even to the okay, so she ended up moving out of state. She moved somewhere down south. Along with her family. Her family does not live in that house anymore. When Mark and I were starting CPR and like years ago and going through this, the one thing that there's one person that we came in contact with. Her name's Samantha. And Samantha is a phenomenal asset to the team because me being a psychologist and a sociologist, by degree, Mark being amazing with electrical and structural and myself also for doing construction for years, when we're analyzing a house, we have every aspect of it covered. One of the amazing things that Samantha adds to that not a lot of groups have access to, she's a pharmacologist. She's a pharmacist.
Oh, okay.
So her level of questioning on when we start to actually do client interviews to find out what if there's been any medications that have switched, any new birth control they switch to, because she has to know all the side effects.
Hmm.
So it works out very, very well as far as encompassing a whole, like, all right, well, here's our pre-thing is we've noticed these red flags and then these don't make sense and then we do it this, that, and the other way. Well, if you look at this person, not Samantha, the girl from, you know, right after high school, you look at her house, staring at the front door, you do a 360-degree turn, or no, 180, what the hell am I talking about? You're staring at the front door again. Jesus. I'm antihistamines, they're kicking my ass today. But, so you turn around a complete 180 degrees. Yes. That's where
crack bite.
Yeah, meth is made from antihistamines. That explains it. But if you do a 180-degree turn, and if you're able to look through the house directly across the street, you'd be staring at Samantha's back door.
Huh.
It's on the next block on the same direct line. And she said, she goes, I've seen the craziest shit at that house. And it's a Latino family. She goes, they have so many shrines to Virgin Mary. And I can't remember what the spirit protector, Latin, like
El Mate.
El Mate, yes. They have El Mate all over their house. So that's what got me into it. My weirdest experience, which I believe that Dennis can kind of confirm this on two levels. I have to say, after being in it, one would be certain incidences out at Cherry Road, which is a urban legend that we investigate on the side. That'd be number two. My number one would be at the house in Wisconsin.
That place is just freaky. I
haven't
been there, but I've spoken with all the residents, and yeah, that place has got strange things going on.
Has to
You've also done a remote read.
And the other one, Waverly. They're the ones that are close to me that everybody talks about, and I never get there.
See, I've been to a lot of the famous haunted places and spent a lot of time and done repeat visits. This house in Wisconsin, though,
mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Jeff about it, and I believe Jeff has remote viewed it. Dennis, you spent a lot of time there, not in person.
Not physically.
But there's, I mean, it's anything that you've, and this is the one thing that's kind of a bitch about it, is I can't post any of this stuff because it's a private residence. I have the owner's permission, but I still don't operate that way. I'm not going to put that out there. And then if it is compelling and it is all that stuff, I'm not going to, you know, have people asking me, well, how do I get there? Where do I go? I don't want that. And nor does the homeowner. So we're going through all this stuff. And I mean, everything from full-bodied apparitions to bangs to object manipulation to, like, just everything that you could ever imagine. EVP's out the ass out of that place.
I've got a question that was posed. Waverly. Where? What state? Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Kentucky.
Right.
And
it's Lexington?
I think so. It's about two and a half hours south of Bobby Mackey, so that would be the area. I think so.
Yeah, I want to say it's in Lexington, but, you know, Waverly Hills has a fantastic history. It's right up there in its history with Pennhurst, Norwich State Asylum, you know, just some of the atrocities that were done there to the, they used to call them the retarded or the
mentally challenged, just in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I just pulled it up.
Yeah, Louisville. But it went through, so, you know, there were so many atrocities that were committed in both of those. You know, they would use the residents and test different vaccines on them. They would, you know, if you were perfectly sound mind, but you were, you know, in a crippled body, they would literally go dump you off at a place like Waverly Hills or Pennhurst. And, you know, the conditions in virtually all of them was absolutely horrible.
When I was a young girl, about 16 years old, looking back now, I'm not for sure if it was Waverly Hills, but it was down in the Lexington area. And it was a huge place, and it was functional, and it was open. I went with a young boy I was dating at the time who had a relative that was in that place. And I recall walking in, and it was just overwhelming. There were patients, is the word I will use, that were walking all up and down the halls. Some of them had clothes, some of them didn't. Some of them were in the corners by themselves, sucking thumbs, cowering, hiding, others crying, others having sex in the corner, whatever they could do. 16 years old, it blew my mind, creeped me out royally. Never seen anything like it before in my life. There were so many patients, there definitely was not enough nurse-type people to take care of them, to do anything with them. They pretty well wandered up and down by themselves, and we had to knock to get in. They kept the doors locked, of course, I guess, so these people didn't just wander. They told us they would wander down the streets and be loose if they hadn't. And they even told us they didn't have enough staff to take care of these people, and someone would take their clothes off and just wander, and they just left them be. There was too many of them to keep up with. It was one of the saddest, most disturbing things I'd ever seen in my life. And I can only imagine why these places are still filled with these tortured souls, like you said, perfectly good bodies. But the minds were gone, or vice versa, and all thrown together. And if you weren't nuts when you went in, you were after a few months of hanging in something like that.
I know some of the stories, it might have been from Waverly Hills, regarding treatment and care and finances and so forth. On average, we spend 65 cents a day or something like that to feed animals in a dog pound. These locations, a lot of them, and I'm fairly, it's either Pennhurst or it's Waverly Hills that I remember hearing this number about. On average, 65 to 70 cents a day to feed dogs in a dog pound, and they would have to do it on 15 to 18 cents a day for the patients. It boggles my mind. And, you know, places like Pennhurst and Waverly Hills, and, you know, those actually brought to light the travesty of what we were doing to the disabled or the mentally handicapped or, you know, physically handicapped. You know, and that's, it's places like that. I mean, for the most part, they started out with the best of intentions. But, you know, finances forced them to do whatever they could, and it's just amazing what they ended up doing. The atrocities that were performed there are just mind-boggling. I mean, definitely read up on some of these places like Pennhurst and Waverly Hills. It just absolutely floors the mind to think that just because somebody had a crippled up body, their family would literally pull up out front in front of a location like this, offload them, and just drive away. And if you were, for the most part, if you had most of your faculties about you mentally, and had any sort of physical capacity, they are typically the ones that became the predator in the location.
Makes sense.
And, you know, you said that the one that you went into, you saw them having sex in a corner or whatever. You know,
right.
That a lot of times it wasn't consensual.
Right. And that's the way it seemed. And they would follow up and touch you as you were walking down the hallways and stuff. It was scary. I'm sitting here looking, reading on here, and it says they finally, the budget was cut in the 1960s and 70s and led to both horrible conditions and patients' mistreatments. And in 1982, the state closed it down. It was during the 70s when I was down there, so I'm going to say I've just realized and put two and two together. This is the place I was at, and that was during the 70s.
Yeah, it was Waverly Hills Sanitarium?
Yes, and it was miserable. It was miserable.
Yeah, and it's the same way. Now, anybody that has any sort of abilities to, you know, hear voices or, you know, connect with energies, just driving by locations like that. I went to Connecticut back in January, a couple of years ago, to help my daughter move up there. They were transferred from Norfolk Naval Station up to Connecticut. They drove me by Norwich Insane Asylum, which has been closed for 15 years, which I've got a good story about that one also. But just driving by, all I could hear was screaming, and I'm like, what in the hell is around here? And, I mean, it's pitch black outside. There's no lights on the buildings or anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, we're going by Norwich Asylum. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, that explains that.
You were going by where?
Norwich Asylum. It's up
in
Norwich, Connecticut. And it's another one that ranks right up there with the travesties that occurred at Pennhurst and Waverly Hills and so forth.
That's a new name for me.
Yeah, Norwich Asylum is pretty cool. It's not as large, but it sits right on the river overlooking the river up there. I'm not even sure what the river is. But they built a huge Mohegan Sun casino right across the road, or right across the river from this place. So you can literally get a room in the casino, overlook the river, and what's left of Norwich Asylum. They are now trying to demo buildings. They've been trying to demo this place for a year. They've been through three contractors. The contractors just keep refusing to go back. I mean, they did nothing about the spirits that are stuck there. So obviously you're going in and tearing your house up. They're not pleased. You know, so they have some restoration contractors going through trying to, you know, salvage what's, you know, historical about the buildings or whatnot. And they're getting run out. Just, you know, activity in the buildings is off the charts. So they've been through three contractors in a year and still haven't managed to get the buildings torn down. They've only managed to get a few of them torn down.
Sure.
But, you know, again, that one was supposedly a fully self-sufficient, pretty much its own city. It had farmland, it had livestock, it had a cemetery on site, you know, the whole nine yards. And just, again, the atrocities took over and the financing stopped. You know, most of them, the state paid for, you know, if you wanted to take little Johnny and just drop him off because little Johnny was too badly crippled for you to handle at home, you know, his body was just, you know, whatever the condition was, or, you know, if he had severe mental illness, you just pulled up out front, you dropped him off, nursing staff would come out, take him and whatever possessions you left with him, and the state paid for his well-being for the rest of his life. And when the state started cutting funding. Well, yeah. The state was, you know, financially responsible for whatever happened to it. And most of the time, you're right, it was not well-being. But, you know, thank goodness
that places like that started to come into the limelight, and it started being realized. And there was, I believe it was an ABC reporter that went into Pennhurst in early 70s, I believe, and brought to light the horrible conditions. And that's when things started to change as far as the handicapped and how we treated them and what we did with them. Instead of just warehousing them, you know, they would then end up going into facilities where they were actually helped. But, I mean, there's just, and I'm sure that, you know, those three that I've named, I'm sure they are not the only ones. You know, by all means, if you're listening in or whatever, feel free to call in if you know of, you know, a similar location that, you know, I mean, we've only got 5 minutes left on the show, but you're more than welcome to join us on Wednesday night on, you know, Full Spectrum Radio at the same time. And, hey, we'll have a conversation regarding those.
Yep. I've enjoyed the evening with you. Had a nice time.
And it's not bad. And
it's, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I know there's, you know, you're busy. We definitely appreciate taking the time out to talk to us. And, yes, any information you can send me or send Dennis about anything that you have going on, the new venture, any of that stuff, we will for sure be pumping the hell out of it at Parafest, and hopefully with the amount of information that we can get out for you, you will have, if, well, that weekend, it'd be kind of hard, but maybe not. And you will have a huge, huge amount of people that will come to the new place. So,
well, I'm looking forward to you guys stopping down and visit me. Like I say, thanks for having me on tonight. Always, like you said, I'm running like a crazy lady, but I wouldn't be crazy if it wasn't for everybody that's out there. So we've got to stay in the loop. Thanks for having me, being part of the show, and allowing me to talk to everybody about all the stuff that's going on. So keep shooting me the emails. Keep me in the loop. Let me know what's going on your end of the world, too. And I guess I'm going to want to pull out of here. So I've been looking at your website, too. So keep posting those pictures so I can laugh at you, okay?
Yeah, I still have more. I'm in the middle of posting right now, which are, if you go to CPR Matt, it's pictures of Scott. It's pictures of Jenny Gurney. It's pictures of, there's more to come. So, but... Yeah, so thank you, dear. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And anything that we can do, just let us know and consider it done.
All right. Take care, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Wanda, definitely make sure to send me a digital file of the flyer or something for your shop.
I will.
I'll get some printouts of it and put them on. I believe we have a couple of different tables that will be full access to at Parafest.
Sweet of you guys. Thank you so much.
I'll do some prints for you and set them out.
Okay, thank you.
No,
all right, good luck,
darling.
With you
all. Take care. Thanks for joining
us.
Okay.
All righty. Good night.
Night-night.
Good night.
It's definitely a pretty good show, brother.
Yeah. I love talking with her, and also, I mean, you know, talking with everybody that we get. And she has some great, great stuff going up and coming up and all that stuff. So definitely pay attention. And, again, WandaK.com, just, you know, pay attention to everything she has going on. And if you're within the area and it's within your means, go ahead and join it. And I guarantee it'll be an experience that you're never gonna forget. So also, thank you, Dennis. Again, join us Wednesday night for Full Spectrum Radio. That'll be Dennis and I. And let's see what other kind of crazy shit we can get into on Wednesday.
No telling, man. No telling. But, hey, check us out at CPR Dennis and CPR Matt on Facebook and Twitter. Check out ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com. Check out Chicagoland Researchers on Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers on Facebook. And we definitely want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight and listening to us. Sometimes we don't have a whole lot to get really excited about, but man, we got some exciting stuff coming up. And thank you so much for joining us as well, Terry, even though you didn't come on air with us this time. But yeah, Terry's definitely got to go to
love you, Terry.
Bobby Mackey's with me. She's got to go to Bobby Mackey's with me. I don't